Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937, now with more than 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. Online at joneswalker.com. And Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana, featuring the card accepted by doctors in all 50 states. Information available at bcbsla.com or Twitter, #TopDoctors. Additional support comes from Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank and Resource Management LLC.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Commander's Palace in the Garden District and Out to Lunch, the show about New Orleans business. Today we're going to take a look at two very different products manufactured just blocks away from each other in the French Quarter. One is made to last a lifetime, the other to disappear in minutes. The quickly disappearing product is, along with the fleur-de-lis, one of the best-known symbols of New Orleans, the beignet. The beignet began its life in New Orleans in 1862. And did you know that in the 1800s, there were 500 coffee shops in the French Quarter? The only one that survives today from that era is the home of the beignet, Café du Monde. Café du Monde's Vice President, Bert Benrue, is my guest on Out to Lunch today. Bert, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
My other guest owns a very different French Quarter business that also produces one of the most enduring and beloved symbols of New Orleans, the gas lamp. Drew Bevelo is the grandson of Andrew Bevelo Sr., who designed and created the copper gas lamp we see all around the quarter, on homes all over the city, and as we're going to find out, across the country and around the world. Drew, welcome to Out to Lunch.
My pleasure.
I want to ask you both the same question because you've both done something very similar and very difficult. You've both been spectacularly successful at it. You've stepped into a family business generations after it began, and not only have you kept it going, but you've taken your business to new heights. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about where Café du Monde and Bevelo were when you stepped into them and where they are today. I'll start with you, Bert.
Well, when I started Café du Monde, I started in 1986. And this is now 11 years after the renovation of the French Market, the 1975 renovation of the French Market. So when you go to the Café du Monde right now, you're looking at that renovation, the 1975 renovation. In addition to the renovation, there was a fight in 1975 whether or not the Café du Monde could retain the lease at that location. That's a city-owned property, and there were some other people who were fighting for that location. Now the Fernandez family had bought the Café du Monde in 1942, so from 42 to 75, they maintained that business. And they were able to prevail by continuing the lease with the city of New Orleans. So that was a real dicey thing. I know the family was still very upset about the fight that happened back in 1975 to retain the lease
at that
location.
So you had that battle retaining it, but then you took it and expanded it.
Well, okay, so it's a small family business. At that point in time, it's a second generation. There's three guys running the business. It's open 24 hours a day. They've jettisoned the Fernandez wine cellar that Hubert Fernandez established way back at the end of Prohibition. And that's how they ended up with the Café du Monde. Hubert would look at the business across the street, and I can imagine he was thinking all these varieties of wine and, you know, what a complicated inventory system. Well, and here's this coffee shop across the street. They only sell milk, beignets, and coffee. So he bought that, and they ran both businesses until, you know, the late 60s when my father-in-law said, okay, well, let's get rid of the wine cellar and just concentrate on the coffee shop, simplify things a little bit.
But now about, what is it, 30% of your sales are outside of the actual facility?
Well, that's right. Well, since 1985, we've expanded out into the suburbs like our clientele did. You know, a lot of people moved out into the suburbs, so we just moved our business closer to them. Right now we have eight locations. We have three freestanding locations with drive-throughs. We have a licensee in Japan. That business started back in 1989, and they operate, I would say right now they're probably hovering around 20 Café du Mans. They've opened and closed over 100 in Japan, yeah. It's been a very interesting experience to travel over there and see what they do.
Does it go well with sushi? What is it that...
It has more of a European flair. You know, there's no... they don't sell any fish. You know, it's coffee and pastries, beignets. You know, the interesting thing about the Japanese is the first thing they did is they put in a cinnamon sugar. And just because people over there are used to a little bit of variety, and that was a real easy thing to do. And they also have a dip sauce, you know, so you get your beignets and you can dredge your beignets through a sauce, whatever sauce, right. They get, like a custard or a strawberry.
Now, so. Drew, let me ask you, you same situation. Your grandfather started both our grandfathers were Italian immigrants.
Right.
So but when you came in, how did you take it to the next level? I know these family businesses, we have a family business forum at Tulane. I know the mechanics, the logistics are tough.
It's great.
Yeah.
it is. And, you know, we have an Italian family that passes it down one generation to another. Here's the key. I'm Andrea Giovanni Bevolo III. My grandfather
Should I have
was
introduced
first.
You that way? That
Second.
Is very... I'm good
no,
at these rolling R's.
That's okay. But the point is, my grandfather owned the company. Then he passed it down to my uncle and my father, and he actually all owned a third of the company at one time. And then my uncle owned it himself, and then they passed it down to me. But we just hand the key off. And there's one board of directors, there's one owner, there's one decision maker. Even though I have an excellent staff, I have just an outstanding general manager, employees who are way smarter than I am. My grandfather, they always aspire for their sons and grandsons and whatever to be better. So they wanted me to be in the suit world, right? To go into stockbreaking.
That's right. You
know
were
a little
in
bit
Baton
about.
Rouge, right?
Right. And, you know, went through the Shearson stuff
oh, wow.
and system.
That's a great old
all
name.
That. And, you know, a little bit in New Orleans here and there. But, you know, eventually my uncle called me one day, just fortuitously now, because I would have just been shuffling papers still. But he called me and said, you know, I need to get some brochures reprinted and this and that. Well, the business over the years had taken some economic hits and, you know, new home construction was down and so forth. So he had a tough time retaining employees. You know, you put an ad in the paper for craftsman wanted or coppersmith wanted. Nobody knows what that is.
That's right. I bet.
So, you know, he hired me and the gift that he gave me was the ability to make lights. You know, we learned a little bit and did a little bit and had odd jobs and, you know, worked the drive-through window. Not that we have that, no. But we went through the cleaning bathrooms job as well. But he had the patience to teach me after I was older, 30. So I came down here. He paid me $100 a week. This is 22 years
wow.
ago now. And, yeah, that was a lot.
Tough love. Yeah,
right. So I got out of the suit world. So the dry cleaning bill went down. And just welded and made lights and made brackets and cut all the glass by hand. Everything by hand from scratch, raw materials. We make the lights from the ground up. So that was just a great gift that he gave me. And in return, what I did is I added the re-engineering of the production process and lean manufacturing implementation. And just bringing those things up, you know, we were on a third floor or a three-story building in the French Quarter with 14-foot ceilings. That's not a good manufacturing layout. So we bought another building and we, you know, hired and trained employees just incrementally, gradually, painfully. But it's like bringing along a boxer, you know. You know you have Joe Louis or Muhammad Ali, but you can't put them in the ring. you know, in the
first
place.
You're like the Angelo Dundee of lighting. That's so great.
That's nice. Thanks.
Let me ask, you know, we mentioned something a few minutes ago that grabbed me. Is new house construction, is that the driver to your business or one of the drivers? Or?
Well, one of them. We really do the nicest homes in the United States. We do the nicest homes in the world now. I do all the lights for Southern Accent Living and Coastal Living and Veranda in Architectural Digest and traditional building model homes.
You did the lights for his place, right?
Yes. And that's, you know, historically, though, we have such deep roots. We have a Café Du Monde light because we're on Café Du Monde. We don't have to make up a name. We have a Commander's Palace light. We have a Cabildo light because we're on the Cabildo. We're on the French Market, so all these lights are distinctive to the French Market. Some of the greatest architects and most famous architects, certainly in Louisiana, Coke and Wilson, A. Hayes Town from Baton Rouge, is the father of Louisiana architecture, graduated from Tulane in 1923. All these architects had a hand in helping us develop lines and designs of lights, although we all made contributions as well. To develop the about 500 that we have now, I guess.
Well, you know, I mentioned you both, you know, these New Orleans icons. I'll start with Bert. If you could change one thing about New Orleans, what would you change?
Oh, gosh. Right now, at this point in time, if I could do anything, I think I'd fix the harbor, the municipal yacht harbor.
Oh, all right. That has never come up before.
It's still a mess. 8 years later, it's still a mess.
We'll get that off to Mitch immediately. And Drew, what would you change if one thing in the city?
There's nothing to change in New Orleans. It's your own unique entity, but, you know, we still need to keep putting structural Band-Aids on it. And, I have my heart's in the French Quarter, of course, even though I've had, you know, lived uptown and whatever, but in the French Quarter, that's ground zero. That's the jewel of the city. That's what drives everything. That drives the engine for tourism. So we really need to pay a little bit closer attention. I've been, you know, president of the French Quarter Business Association. I'm on currently on a couple of boards there in Louisiana State Museum and things like that. So in the past, so we, you know, recognize the history and how to keep those buildings in commerce and repair them and whatever. They have to be occupied in order to save them.
And then what do you think's the, out of all the things that are involved in your business, what part gives you the most satisfaction?
You know, I just come to work every day. I just look forward to coming to work every day and making lights, and people say such nice things around the world and are just amazed. And they say crazy things like, I've always wanted a Buffalo light on my house. And that's just so humbling to hear that. But, you know, when I walk to Café Du Monde to have beignets and Café au lait, I'll go up and I'll see the lights my grandfather made, or around Jackson Square, or on the Cabildo.
So permanent.
So, you know, it's just touching, and, you know, I'm proud to come to work every day. I just love it.
Bert, what gives you the most satisfaction?
Well, it was the coffee and beignets every morning when I get to work. That's the second thing I do when I get to work is, you know, I'll pour myself a cup of coffee and eat a beignet, you know, and
most people don't get to do that. That's terrific.
I mean, no, it's awesome. It really is. It really is good.
Now it's time to check the inbox, and that's where our producer picks a question that's come in from a listener. And Grant, what came in this week?
Peter, we've got a lot of questions on both Facebook and Twitter this week. I got one for each of our guests. Drew, this one for you from Katrina Mish. Does Bevelo have plans to make online purchasing available? Their website is fantastic, but purchasing requires picking up a phone.
Right. And, you know, that's a great question. I'm glad she asked that. We have not sold our lights online because we want to look at every project that we're on to make sure people have the right size and the right style based on the architecture of the house. For you to go online and select 500 different styles of lights that we have, you're going to pick whatever you like. It's not what your house likes. Your interior designer, your architect, your husband, your wife, they all have four different opinions. So which one's the right one? Well, the house is right all the time. So we like to give all of our clients the benefit of our, you know, 68 years of looking at houses and plans from all over the world, every different type of architecture, from modern, traditional, you name it, we do it. Some houses, you can select your own lights. Some are that simple. but most of the time not. And so we'd rather them not get too big or too small or make a budget-driven decision that I only have this much money left in my budget, so I have to get the smallest light that they have. And it looks terrible for the, you know, a lifetime of that house, because the light lasts forever.
Right.
So you're picking out something that you never have to change. So we want to make sure it's right going in. And another thing, very quickly, the number of lights people put on their house are too many. So when people call up and they say, "I need 8 lights on my house," I'll say, "You need 5 lights on your house," because they have 2 lights by every door, by every door, by garages. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right. It's too much photometric light. It's not enough ambiance. So we really do a pretty in-depth analysis of your home. It doesn't cost you a penny. You can not get lights from us for 5 years. You'll know that those are the right lights for your house.
Wow.
Here's a question for you, Bert, from Angela Bullier, who asks what about 100 other people asked us, but this is the most succinct question. Does Café du Monde use an original recipe for their famous beignets? If so, whose recipe is it?
We do use an original recipe for our beignets. And the recipe we're currently using was one that was tested out within the family. We wanted, you know, it goes back to when we came out with the box beignet mix back in the late 60s. People were always asking, well, can I make these beignets at home? And so members of the second generation got together in their kitchens at home and they started experimenting and came up with the right combination that would complement what they were currently serving at the time. And came up with a recipe that people would be able to replicate at home. And it's the box beignet mix that we sell, you know, through our websites. And we sell them in our stores. And you can find them in your grocery store.
Is it a secret like Coca-Cola where it's in a vault at the Whitney or something like that?
Well, it is a secret, yes. And the recipe is in a vault. Yeah.
I love the idea
of
that.
It is.
Now it's time to pay it forward. One of the hallmarks of the current business renaissance in New Orleans is the spirit of cooperation in the new business community. On Out to Lunch, we ask our guests to join in with this spirit of cooperation by using their expertise and experience to help us with up-and-coming entrepreneurs. Drew Burt, today we're looking at a business called Nola Pie Guy. Nola Pie Guy is an online business that delivers fresh homemade pies made to order to homes and businesses in New Orleans. Nola Pie Guy, his real name is Nate Winner, says his vision is to be the world's first virtual bakery where customers can create online baked goods and have them made fresh to order and delivered to their homes or places of work. To get there, Nate says he needs to rebrand himself to go nationwide, and that's going to require capital, strategic partnerships, and probably an app development. And what would you advise Nola Pie Guy to do to reach these goals? And as a personal aside, the pies are delicious. So maybe the first question to do with financing. Any advice to a young guy starting out?
Well, I think he definitely needs to work on the sales aspect of his project. You know, if he can sell, the more pies he sells, the better his chance of success. So he needs to identify customers who are going to buy pies all the time. And my recommendation to him would be to find restaurateurs who necessarily don't want to take up the time or the space in their kitchen and sell them pies. And I saw, you know, Nathan's website, and yes, he does have a retail location, which is good. But I would encourage him to target into the food service and try to build some volume that way.
And Drew, you know, this is a kind of a branding question. You two are tremendously successful at this. What would you recommend, Nate?
Well, branding is of course important, but you'd really just build that up over time with advertising. Don't be, you know, too anxious to spend a whole lot of money and just brand all at once. If you raise $1 million and want to put $1 million in print ads in 1 year, you're out of gas. And you'll
to someone in the gas business.
Right. And then, but what happens is you'll implode. You'll make more than you can produce. So you have to kind of keep an even keel. Look at, you know, first of all, just in the food business, to back up a little bit, quality and consistency. Make sure it tastes good. We have the Peter seal of approval on this. And then consistency. You don't want any bad stuff. You want good shelf life. And then I guess the last thing is probably look at similar businesses and successful business models so they don't have to recreate the wheel. You can, you know, you can follow along and look at somebody that has been had a delivery thing, maybe Omaha Steaks, you know, something like that, what their distribution was and what their history was and how they came along. But really coming along, building a business, you really have to build it gradually. You're not going to be successful all at once. It's about hard work, and it's doing it one person at a time. And, you know, if he's a young guy, then he needs to bring it along, you know, slowly.
And in terms of expanding to other cities, you want to get all the kinks out of it.
Absolutely.
In the first city.
You don't want to just go all over the, you know, be worldwide and then find out you have terrible pies and nobody likes them.
That would be a good thing to know. Thank you. Drew Bevelo, Bert Benru, you have businesses that are among the best-known symbols of New Orleans today, largely thanks to your personal talents and hard work. Bevelo and Café du Monde products are known and sold across the country and around the world, and you're both great New Orleanians and great businessmen. Thank you for joining me on Out to Lunch. Great guests.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Drew Bevelo, owner of Bevelo Gas and Electric Lights, and Bert Benru, the vice president of Café du Monde. To find out more about Drew's lamps or Bert's beignets, follow the links on our sites, WWNO.org, and it's neworleans.com. The show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday, with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Dr. Cliff Brigden is our digital guru. The vivacious Jennifer Smith is our researcher. Our intern is Caroline Kaufman. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can get the show as a podcast, and you can listen to past shows and keep up with us on Facebook and Twitter by going to our websites. It's neworleans.com and wwno.org. Support for Out to Lunch comes from PreSonus Audio Electronics. PreSonus makes Studio One music production software, Studio Live digital mixing consoles, Aeris Studio monitors, and more. More information about Baton Rouge-based PreSonus is online at presonus.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting and WWNO for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I look forward to meeting you again here next week on Out to Lunch around the table here at Commander's Palace. Till then, be well, be safe, be happy. Bye-bye.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana. Additional support comes from Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank and Resource Management, LLC.